Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram Weekend Edition for Saturday, February 24th, 2024. Bass Pro Shops now moving to Odessa. The Bass Pro Shops, which was proposed to come to Midland, will now be in Odessa, according to a press release from Bass Pro Shops. Bass Pro Shops stated that Bass Pro and Tracker Boats in Odessa will be a 100,000-square-foot facility. It will sit between Yukon Road and Mission Boulevard, fronting Highway 191 in Midland County, next to the Synergy Family Entertainment Center. Bass Pro stated that the location is expected to open in spring 2025. Bass Pro addressed the talks about coming to Midland in its statement. Quote, while Bass Pro Shops previously considered a location in Midland, it believes this new destination near Odessa will allow for an expanded experience and assortment for its customers while conveniently serving the entire Permian Basin region, end quote, it stated. Quote, the City of Midland and Midland Development Corporation negotiated an incentive package with Bass Pro Shops that yielded optimal return on investment of taxpayer funds. Bass Pro Shops ultimately chose a location in a neighboring community, end quote. Sarah Harris, Executive Director of the Midland Development Corporation, told the Reporter Telegram by email. MDC had agreed in September to increase the amount of its part of an incentive package for Bass Pro Shops to $5.5 million that would fund an east-west extension of Sinclair Avenue and a new north-south road that would be turned over to the city. The additional $500,000 was to fund additional infrastructure, drainage, and site work. Since none of those funds were expended, she said it will be up to MDC's board of directors to determine the best use of the funds. Quote, the Midland Development Corporation, the City of Midland, and Midland County team have worked diligently together in negotiation with Bass Pro Shops for some time, end quote. Midland Mayor Lori Blong told the Reporter Telegram by email. Quote, while we would have preferred the location in Midland, we are pleased to see Bass Pro Shops still coming to our region with their announcement. For the City of Midland, this means we will have access to destination retail only 8 miles away from their previously planned site. We also now have the added benefit of the freedom to relocate the capital that had been committed to the Bass Pro Midland project to other priorities for the benefit of our community. Quote, our Midland City Council and MDC have demonstrated repeatedly that we are committed to prudent investment in quality of life assets, end quote, she concluded. Mayor of Odessa, Javier Joven, made a statement on Bass Pro Shops and Tracker Boats now slated to come to the neighboring city. Quote, the impact of this announcement on the community cannot be overstated. The arrival of Bass Pro Shops and Tracker Boats signifies a new era of growth and prosperity for Odessa. It is a testament to the city's potential and its ability to attract big-name retailers. This development will not only create jobs and generate revenue for the city, but it will also enhance the overall quality of life for residents by providing them with access to top-quality products and services, end quote, a part of the statement read. Joven said the development is a result of the hard work of John Bushman and ICA Development, LLC, and the City of Odessa, as well as the Odessa Development Corporation. Joven added that the arrival of Bass Pro Shops marks the beginning of a new chapter in the city's history. The ODC in mid-February approved a resolution with ICA Development to support infrastructure of ICA's 150-acre mixed-use development that will include industrial parks, workforce housing, commercial development, and retail development. The resolution is pending approval by Odessa City Council in the amount of $4,405,417. If approved, the ODC will partner with ICA to provide funding support for infrastructure improvements to support growth and development projects in this entire area, including utilities, roadway, and drainage improvements that open up the entire area to provide infrastructure for future growth. Several development projects are being considered for this area, including the Bass Pro Shops location. Study. Midland ranks low for remote work. Mifflin ranked 327th of 344 cities across the nation for people working remotely, according to a study by smartasset.com. The financial advice website showed Mifflin near the bottom of the rankings with 5.5% of workers working remotely. That percentage is nearly one-third of the national average, 15.7%, and ranked second to last in West Texas. Odessa showed 3.8% of its workers were remote and ranked second from the bottom across the country. With these kind of rankings, it is easy to see there is a market potential for co-working areas within the region. That is precisely what the business Second Story Co-working hopes to provide to businesses and entrepreneurs searching for another solution. The co-working business opened in July of 2019 and is located downtown at 223 West Wall Street. Co-owner and manager Kelly Davis said after COVID-19, the business began to see a tremendous amount of growth within the area. Quote, a lot of companies decided it was a good call to move their workers remotely and to end the requirement of having their employees on site, end quote, she said during a recent phone interview with the Reporter Telegram. Quote, for example, our business has seen companies such as Chevron and sales marketing teams utilize our space here, end quote. Part of the incentive for that growth may be the huge cost and savings for businesses that have a West Texas client base, but not necessarily the brick-and-mortar aspect yet. Quote, the flexibility of our monthly membership and not having a lease is a huge benefit to the businesses that utilize the space, end quote, Davis said. Quote, they, businesses, come in from out of town and we have mailboxes which they can use and even an address for their business, end quote. The flexibility and the services offered by the co-working company provide much-needed resources, but also give an element of networking as well. Davis said many oil and gas companies use their facility and end up networking with each other while working. Quote, if you are working out of Starbucks, that is an isolation type of situation, end quote, Davis said. Quote, but if you have a community in the workplace, you can be productive, end quote. Another benefit of the co-working facility is the discussion of business challenges within the area. Quote, it is super rare when you first start to have everything in place, end quote, Davis said. Quote, and think about the elements that are needed to begin, end quote. Those elements such as internet, electricity, mail service, insurance, and other resources can seem like a huge wish list for an entrepreneur that is just beginning. Quote, the barrier to entry when you create an office location to house your employees is fairly large. All of that takes a lot of time to prepare, but here you can do a plug and play, end quote, Davis said. Quote, rather than have a hold time to start working right away, end quote. This is precisely the reason why companies are lining up to utilize the plug and play resource that Second Story Co-working offers. And that resource is a rare commodity, especially in West Texas. Davis admits that there is no other co-working business within the region, which she sees as an opportunity for future expansion. Quote, we are the only one within the Midland area, end quote, she said. Quote, we love to use our space. It is much more conducive than, say, a coffee shop because of the flexibility it provides, end quote. The Apex Club, Midland's new private club, is now open. Midland's newest club opened its doors earlier this month on the second floor of the Apex building, 15 Smith Road. Larry Burdett, general manager of the Apex Club, reports the private club is already signing up, quote, great corporate memberships, end quote, as well as private memberships, and is already approaching its limit. Quote, we're limiting memberships while we see how they're being used, end quote. And so the 7,500 square foot location doesn't become too crowded and uncomfortable, he explained. He estimated there are currently 30 corporate memberships. Each membership comes with four fobs that allow entrance to the club, and each fob entitles the user to bring up to four guests. Burdett, who once owned Zucci's Restaurante and Zucci Sports Bar and Grill in Odessa, has seen business come in what he calls two acts. The first is what he called happy hour between 4 and 6:30 p.m., when members stop by for a drink before heading home. The second act is after dinner when, quote, individual members, the younger set, come by to have a drink after dinner, end quote. For now, the club is open from 4 to 10 p.m., Monday through Friday, and can be available on weekends for special events. Burdett said anyone interested in joining the club can come in, check out the amenities, and decide if they want to join. He stressed that the monthly memberships entitle members to reserve the amenities, the 33-seat movie theater, the private conference room, the golf simulator. The membership does not include drinks, and Burdett said members must pay their bar tabs before leaving. Right now, the club is a limited bar with beer and wine lists, and Burdett said that will grow organically with member demand. Quote, we have small batch bourbon, single malt whiskeys, tequila is very popular right now, gins are very popular, end quote, he said. The club includes four pit areas with chairs and couches scattered around the room, each with its own fireplace. Since there is no kitchen, members can bring in their own meals and utilize tables with cushioned chairs and hooks on the back to hold purses that are also placed around the room. Smaller tables are also available for smaller gatherings or card or board games. In addition to the golf simulator, the club has a dartboard, shuffleboard, and billiards table. There is also a wine cellar to hold members' wine collections. Quote, this is a nice, quiet, safe atmosphere, end quote, Burdett said. Mary's Burritos, a true loncheria. On a Sunday in February, Mary's Burritos briefly transported me back to South San Antonio for a weekend brunch at a neighborhood cafe. Mary's is located at the corner of South Terrell Street and East Florida Avenue, with parking along the west side of the building. Walking around to the front door, I heard easy Mexican tunes playing from the kitchen. The restaurant ambiance is brightly colored and unpretentious. Orange walls, simple cafe tables and chairs, and colorful checkered tablecloths covered in plastic. On this particular Sunday at about 11 a.m., the restaurant was about 25% full. We walked in and seated ourselves at one of a dozen or so tables. The background soundscape was the music from the kitchen and comfortable conversations in Spanish, with greetings between tables as neighbors recognized one another. One server assisted all patrons, and the service was relaxed but friendly. A true loncheria, Mary's Burritos closes at 3 p.m. and offers a menu with breakfast and lunch plates, the full menu served all hours. The list of plates appears limited, but one patron ordered huevos rancheros off menu, and the kitchen happily accommodated. Many breakfast and lunch options were the same. Picadillo, asado, chili verde, etc., the difference being cooked-to-order eggs for breakfast plates and sides of beans and rice for lunch. All plates were served with a choice of tortillas de harina or maíz. As its name suggests, Mary's also offered a full list of breakfast burritos made to order, and the restaurant did a steady carry-out business during our visit. Interestingly, there were no prices on the menu. However, the cost was reasonable, with two plates, a Mexican Coke, and waters totaling slightly less than $35. Steaming bowls of weekend menudo were popular, and Mary's also offered albanigas soup. Seasonally, the cooks will serve pozole, and I look forward to returning for a bowl. After a debate, including several suggestions of ordering, quote, one of everything, end quote, we settled on a breakfast relleno plate and lunch green chicken enchilada plate. The server seemed more comfortable taking my order in Spanish, but my companion was able to place his order in English as well. After 12 minutes, the large portions were served freshly made and piping hot. The relleno had a thick batter coating, a hefty Anaheim pepper filled with creamy melted cheese, and would have been truly excellent with an oozy fried egg on top instead of my usual scrambled egg order. Entirely my fault. The highlight of the meal was the green enchilada sauce, bursting with flavors of warm chilies, fresh cilantro, and citrus. The memory of that green sauce still makes my mouth water some weeks later. Before the meal was over, we tasted the enchilada sauce mixed with the beans, rice, cheese relleno, and eggs, and it was delicious with all. Mary's did not offer complimentary chips and salsa. However, the tortillas and red and green sauces served with the meal made up for missing that typical West Texas staple. The sauces were bursting with flavor, and the soft corn tortillas were perfect for scooping up bites and mopping the plate clean. Mary serves flavorful, solid Mexican breakfast and lunch daily, except Mondays. For call-in orders, only one of the numbers posted on the building was correct, 432-262-2455. And a Google search does not turn up the current correct hours. While Mary's Burritos does not serve the traditional American brunch fare of mimosas, poached eggs, and biscuits, it deserves an addition to Midlander's Sunday brunch or weekday breakfast slash lunch rotation. Order those green enchiladas and you can thank me later. New Texas State Park in Palo Pinto faces construction delays. The anticipated opening of the Palo Pinto Mountains State Park, which was announced in 2022 as the first Texas state park in North Texas in more than 25 years, was set to open in late 2023. However, opening day has been slated for 2025 due to construction delays. Quote, the construction setback centered around weather and supply-demand issues, said James Adams, the Palo Pinto Mountains State Park superintendent. Quote, we look forward to sharing the park with the public, however the setbacks were out of our control, end quote. Over $21 million in monetary support has been donated to the park to construct the necessary roads, utilities, buildings, campsites, trails, and other essential facilities to open the park. According to early reporting, when the new park was announced, located on 4,871 acres, the Palo Pinto Mountains State Park is approximately 75 miles west of Fort Worth and 75 miles east of Abilene. The area fronts 4.7 miles on Palo Pinto Creek in the Cross Timbers ecoregion and contains, quote, diverse topography with extraordinary conservation and recreational potential, end quote. With 1,400-foot mountain peaks, a 90-acre lake, and two creeks, Palo Pinto Mountains State Park will offer hiking, mountain biking, camping, and horseback riding opportunities. The main buildings and amenities in the new park will be concentrated in a 140-acre area, according to the report, leaving most of the park lightly developed with miles of trails available for recreation. Once the infrastructure, trails, campgrounds, and facilities are open to the public, Palo Pinto Mountains State Park has an estimated potential to boost the, quote, economic impact of state park visitors and help to invigorate the region, end quote, the report stated. The Texas Parks and Wildlife Department estimates the park could eventually attract 75,000 visitors annually. A24's Civil War sets new release date. Production is ahead of schedule. The second trailer for the upcoming film, Civil War, just dropped and is set to premiere in theaters nationwide on April 12th. The new date is 2 weeks ahead of the original April 26th release date. Directed by English novelist Alex Garland, the upcoming film is A24's most expensive to create to date. According to The Verge, with a budget of $50 million, Garland's resume of films includes The Beach, starring Leonardo DiCaprio, 28 Days Later, Never Let Me Go, and Annihilation, to name a few. Starring Kirsten Dunst, Wagner Moura, Kaylee Spaney, Stephen McKinley Henderson, and Nick Offerman, the film follows a group of journalists traveling across the United States to the White House while enduring the trials and tribulations of a modern second American Civil War warfield. The action-packed thriller marketed for IMAX theaters showcases a current division in America. The film takes the internal conflict to a portrayal of extremes, with the U.S. president calling to depose the, quote, illegal secessionist government, end quote, of the, quote, Western forces of Texas and California, end quote. The trailer's footage starts with an address from the U.S. president, played by Nick Offerman, who calls citizens to arms against, quote, the Florida Alliance and the Western forces of Texas and California, end quote, for their secession from the United States. The trailer also teases new battle sequences in New York City and Washington, D.C. A24 told Variety the film, which was rumored to be longer than 3 hours, was shortened to a 1 hour and 49-minute runtime. Large vendor list scheduled for Saturday's Farmers Market in Midland. This weekend, the Midland Downtown Farmers Market is hosting its weekly event and recently released the vendor list, which is extensive this week and is scheduled for Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon. The event will offer seasonal items, local produce, meat, baked goods, homemade unique finds, food on site, and art. The farmers market location is at 404 North Colorado Street in Midland. For additional information, visit the Midland Downtown Farmers Market website or on Facebook. Below is the list of farmers, food, and vendors participating in this weekend's market on Saturday. farmers. Chate Lane Farm, E3 Farm, Permian Basin Master Gardeners, Morgan Farm / Plants and Produce Midland, Texas, Sunshine Produce, Circle JM Farms, MBP Pecos Fresh, Food Court, Gitter Grub, C3 Farm, Odessa Charcuterie. Vendors, Richie's Rocks, AET-TDH, Delissa's Gluten Free, The Soap Company, Canine Cottage Cookie Company, Shade Tree Salsa, Boz Beauty, 31 Preserves, Permian Basin Candle Company, WTX Candles, Lenny B. Designs, Cries Clay Company, Maya Solis Bakehouse, Heather's Hobby Hut, Jess's Jewelry Box, D&J Fun Freeze Dried Snacks, Baby Bake Cake, Sugar and Almonds, Anna James Brewing Company, Midland Max, Stitch and Seam, Love One Another Soaps, Kayla's Workshop, Ma'am Beard Sweet Tooth, Oak Bees, Sunflower Kisses. Life Tributes. Nancy Lee Davidson Jordan, 129-1935 to 221-2024. Nancy Jordan passed quietly Wednesday, the 21st of February, after an extended struggle with dementia. She was preceded in death by her husband, Jack G. Jordan, also of Midland, her son, Craig A. Jordan of Dallas, and her sister, Nina L. Thompson of Fort Collins, Colorado. She is survived by her son, Michael D. Jordan, and his wife, Grace S. Jordan, and their children, Catherine Jordan and her husband, Joshua B. Jordan, Madeline Jordan, and Craig Jordan's son, Sean Jordan. Services will be held graveside at Rest Haven Cemetery at 11 a.m., March the 2nd. Dr. Steve Shore, a First Presbyterian Midland officiant, all are welcome. Jacob Taylor Baker, 513-1992 to 130-2024. On January 30th, 2024, Jacob Taylor Baker departed from this earth to reach the next life. Jacob is survived by his mother, Paula Baker, and his father, Jeffrey Thomas Baker, his brother, Joshua Tyler Baker, in addition to his grandmother, Lydia Castellan Flores of Midland, and his extended family of aunts and uncles who live throughout Texas. Funeral services are scheduled for Thursday, February 29th, 2024, at 2 p.m. at Fairview Cemetery, 1620 North A Street in Midland. Services are under the direction of Willowbrook Funeral Home. Francis Wynell Nell Seitz, 1124-1927 to 218-2024. Francis Wynell Nell Seitz, 96, of Midland, passed away Sunday, February 18th. Nell was born in 1927 in Big Lake, Texas, to Ralph Lamar and Jenny Matt Brown. Nell was preceded in death by her husband Tom and her son David Thomas Seitz Jr. and his wife Sherry Seitz, her parents Ralph and Jenny Matt Brown, her brother Ralph Brown, and her sister Jane Fisher. She is survived by her son Ralph Seitz and wife Janet Seitz of Midland, Texas, her daughter Mary Seitz Lurch and husband Chris Lurch of Mountain Home, Texas, 8 grandchildren, numerous great-grandchildren and nieces, and a nephew and a great-great-grandson. A memorial service is scheduled for 10:30 a.m. Thursday, February 29th, in the chapel of First Baptist Church in Midland, Texas. Lewis James Jim Chase, Jr., 11-20-1947 to 2-20-2024. Lewis James Jim Chase, Jr. passed away peacefully in Midland on Tuesday, February 20th, 2024. Jim was born to Lewis James Chase, Sr. and Elizabeth B. Johnson Chase in Abilene, Texas on November 20th, 1947. Jim is survived by Ashley and her husband Marcello Molfino and grandson Jack Cooper Molfino, Jennifer Chase, Vicky Verrett Chase, and wife Vicky Webb Chase, as well as his brother Mike Chase and wife Rose, nephew Jeff Chase and family, and many other friends and relatives. He is preceded in death by his parents, Lewis and B., his nephew Brian Scott Chase, and other members of the Chase family whom he loved dearly. Sylvia Martinez, Sylvia Martinez, 61, of Midland, passed away February 20th, 2024. Viewing will be from 8 o'clock a.m. to 9 o'clock p.m., Monday, February 26, 2024, at Nallie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel, with a rosary being recited at 7 o'clock p.m. Funeral Mass will be held at 10 o'clock a.m. Tuesday, February 27, 2024, at Our Lady of Guadalupe Catholic Church, with interment following at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Arrangements are under the direction of Nallie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory in Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Enrique Velasco III. Enrique M. Velasco III, 46, passed away on Wednesday, February 21st, 2024. Viewing will be Sunday, February 25th, 2024, from 12 o'clock p.m. to 9 o'clock p.m., with a rosary beginning at 7 o'clock p.m. at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home. Funeral Mass is set for Monday, February 26, 2024, at 10 o'clock a.m. at Our Lady of Guadalupe Parish and Shrine. Funeral Mass is under the direction of Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home and Chapel. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin@nts-online.net, or you can visit our website at www.llewellyngarciapipkinfh.com. MCSO SWAT team executes search warrant for residents linked to drugs. Midland County. Two men were arrested following the Midland County Sheriff's Office Narcotics Unit and SWAT team executing a narcotic search warrant on the 3800 block of West Wall Street on Thursday. According to reports, after the officers executed the search warrant, fentanyl, methamphetamine, crack cocaine, and other items that officers stated are commonly used in the distribution of narcotics were found. Two men were arrested relating to the search warrant on Thursday. Christopher Lee Looney, 43, was arrested and charged with three separate first-degree felonies. The first charge was for the manufacture or delivery of a controlled substance, PG1-B over 200 grams under 400 grams, fentanyl, a first-degree felony. Looney was also charged with the manufacture or delivery of controlled substance, PG1 over 200 grams under 400 grams, methamphetamine, a first-degree felony, the manufacture or delivery of controlled substance, PG1 over 4 grams under 200 grams, crack cocaine, a first-degree felony, and a failure to appear warrant for the theft of property, considered a misdemeanor. The second man, 56-year-old Jackie Dale Roberts, was arrested on the manufacture or delivery of a controlled substance, PG1, over 4 grams under 200 grams, a first-degree felony, and the possession of a controlled substance in PG1-B under 1 gram, a state jail felony. Both suspects were transported and booked into Midland County Central Detention Center. Man arrested, charged with distribution of child porn in Midland. FBI agents arrested and charged a man in Midland with the distribution of child pornography. According to court documents received by the Reporter-Telegram, FBI agents served a search warrant February 8th on Jonathan Chase Russell at the Permian Lodging Midland Lodge, 2801 South County Road, 1180, for evidence about the distribution of child pornography. During the search, Russell was taken to the Midland Resident Agency and interviewed by the Texas Department of Public Safety, Criminal Investigation Division, and two special agents with the FBI. Russell was arrested February 9th on charges of distribution of child pornography. He is being held without bail. An affidavit from FBI Special Agent William H. Livingstone revealed that an FBI employee was participating in an undercover capacity on an encrypted messaging system called TeleGuard. On January 30th, the undercover officer was in a child pornography trading room and observed a user known as, quote, Toddy Lover, end quote, distribute 15 images that depicted the sexual abuse of two children. One image depicted lewd and graphic acts between an adult male and a young female child. Another depicted the, quote, lewd and lascivious display, end quote, of a prepubescent female genitalia, according to court documents filed in the Western District of Texas with Judge Ronald Griffin presiding. During an attempt to uncover the identity of Russell, undercover FBI operatives engaged in a direct messaging conversation with the person using the online profile. The user said how he knew and he had access to the children, according to court documents. Russell was interviewed by law enforcement. During the process of that interview, court documents indicate Russell acknowledged taking images of a girl lying on her bed. An image taken January 2nd and a series of images taken September 13th, September 19th, 2023, were uncovered and appeared to involve a girl of 45 years of age, according to court records. Court documents describe the image as containing the lewd display of the genitalia of a prepubescent female. According to reports, Russell described the contact he had with the child. A waiver of a preliminary hearing and a detention hearing was signed February 14th.
This is Wendy Kingston reading the Odessa American. The title of the article is City Attorney Sounds Alarm About Fired Staffers by Kim Smith. A routine open records request filed by the Odessa American has caused Odessa City Attorney Dan Jones to realize department heads have fired several employees without consulting his office, leaving the city open to incredible liability. Since January 2023, the Odessa American has filed a Texas Public Information Act request every 4 to 6 weeks for a list of all employees who have resigned, retired, been terminated, or received discipline from the city of Odessa. On January 30th, the OA learned Utilities Department employee Dusty Alford was fired January 8th, 3 months after he was accused of using a stun gun on fellow employees. The newspaper filed a subsequent request February 6th asking for additional documents regarding Alford. As a result of that request, the OA was provided an October 25 email from Jones to Mayor Javier Jovan, City Manager John Beckmeyer, and Deputy City Manager Agapito Bernal outlining his concerns. Jones informed the men he was gravely concerned city employees have been violating the city's policy of notifying human resources and the legal department before imposing an disciplinary action. He noted that he has been reviewing the OA's request to be better informed, and that is how he discovered his office hadn't been notified about at least 6 people who had been terminated. Our job is protecting you and the city of Odessa. Some of the ways that we do this is by looking for the unexpected, the out of the ordinary, and seek out that which could potentially cause damage to the city of Odessa, he wrote. Jones listed Alford as one of the 6, apparently believing he'd been terminated sometime around October 3rd. He also included solid waste and city court employees who were fired for job abandonment, a parks employee unwilling to perform assigned work, a utilities employee for sleeping on the job, and a parks employee for drug and alcohol use. If the city of Odessa is sued for wrongful termination on any of these above, then the city of Odessa would be left with little recourse but to pay for any monetary damages sought. Please let me know how you would like to proceed in addressing this matter, Jones said. No emails in reply were provided to the OA. As for the Alford incident, a human resource memo obtained by the OA shows 2 water distribution employees came to Human Resources on October 6th to report Alford was bringing a taser to work and tasing everyone. They further alleged Alford and others were daring others to do inappropriate things, such as going through someone's backpack for $50. According to the memo, some of their coworkers had also brought firecrackers to work and set them off. The employees said they were often called derogatory names and cussed out by Alford and some others, and they occasionally refused to do what they were told, the memo indicated. One employee mentioned that even though these things were brought to repeatedly, nothing was ever done, just swept under the rug, the memo stated. Alford was fired January 8th for violating a city policy prohibiting fighting or boisterous conduct, deliberately causing physical injury to another employee or citizen, intimidation, and unnecessary disruption of the work area. In its February 6th TPIA The OA had also sought information regarding any disciplinary measures taken against Alford's co-workers, but Jones has declined to provide those documents. In a letter to the Texas Attorney General's office, Jones argues common law privacy protections protect information if the information contains highly intimate or embarrassing facts, the publication of which would be highly objectionable to a reasonable person, and the information is not of legitimate concern to the public. Jones also argues that the informant's identity is exempt from disclosure, although the OA never requested the informant's identity. This is Wendy Kingston reading the Odessa American, and the title of the article is Landgraf: Peaceful, Free, and Fair Vote Separates Us from Tyranny, by Laura Dennis. Ector County's top Republicans called a news conference a day after two candidates accused each other of assaulting each other while the pair was campaigning at the Ector County Annex for votes in the GOP primary election. The Odessa Police Department is investigating allegations that Donna Kilm, who is running for the GOP county chair, and Carmen Wilhite, who is running for Precinct 203, assaulted each other Thursday outside the Ector County Annex building. Kilm is running against Tisha Crowe, and Wilhite's opponent is Ronnie Lewis. State Representative Brooks Landgraf, Ector County Sheriff Mike Griffiths, and County Judge Dustin Fawcett held a news conference at the Annex Friday morning and asked all candidates to calm the local mood down and to be deserving for the votes they are asking Odessans for. Kilms on Friday said she was resting at home. Per Kilm has said her hair was pulled by Wilhite after she touched Wilhite's shoulder and asked her to stop calling her a Democrat. No charges have been filed against either woman, despite local text being circulated by Crowe and her candidates, which includes Wilhite. Wilhite has also been cited with bribery for allegedly offering Trump hats for votes. The local election has pitted Republican against Republican, with candidates aligning with either Kilm or Crowe. The allegations come just one night after Facebook stories began circulating alleging Ector County Commissioner Don Stringer became physically aggressive with opponent Samantha Russell and Justice of the Peace candidate Steve Brennan during a Republican candidates forum. In an interview Wednesday night, Stringer admitted he lost his temper but denied getting physically aggressive. "I am not that person," he said. Stringer said shortly before the forum, Russell sent out a mass email falsely stating he owes back taxes of $10,000 in order to rile him. "The truth," Stringer said, "is that court records show he owes $8,000 on his current taxes, and once he files for his homestead exemption, he actually owes closer to $6,000. She said, "I owe back taxes." "I don't. I owe current taxes," he said. Stringer said he apologized for losing his temper before the end of the forum, and he remains remorseful. Having said that, though, he remains sad at the state of affairs now in Ector County politics. "It is so ugly here, and anyone paying attention would understand that even the calmest of people have a breaking point," Stringer said. "Typically, I don't get excited, but there's been so much put out there from media that is not true media. I was actually putting my boots on when I got that text message." Stringer's campaign manager and daughter, Kelsey Cavender, said her dad felt like he had to defend himself and was in fight or flight mode. Russell's father-in-law, the publisher of Odessa Headlines, Jeff Russell, has not been fair in his description of the event, Cavender said. His story was later shared by the Odessa Accountability Project on Facebook. "I think that they have definitely edited the video to portray what they want the storyline to be. And the article also portrays the story that they want," Cavender said. "They want to paint him as the villain and her as the damsel in distress." On Thursday night, the Ector County Public Party issued a statement on Facebook condemning the assault of a dedicated campaign worker. The statement stated, "The party is deeply troubled and Kelm's actions were utterly unacceptable." Kelm said Friday she thanked people for phone calls, texts, and prayers. "I am overwhelmed with the support I have received." She said the current attacks by Crow and her supporters are par for the course following the attacks on Landgraf, former Mayor David Turner, and former Councilman Dewey Bryant. "I started this campaign with integrity, and I will end it with integrity. I plead with all the candidates to stop the bullying and dissemination of untruths. Voters should not be afraid to vote. Men and women in the armed forces have lost their lives to give us the freedom to vote. Please turn those prayers into votes," she said. Lewis, through his Ector County Politics Facebook page, reminded people Thursday night that he warned them Wednesday night that Will Hite was being aggressive and dishonest. Tisha Crow and Jeff Russell held a two-day seminar for her appointed precinct chair on disrupting opponents and subversion, Lewis wrote. "They're using their training." He wrote he was proud of Kelm for stepping up and running against Crow and asked for prayers for her. During Friday's news conference, Landgraf, Griffiths, and Fawcett also pleaded for an end to this campaign season's unpleasantness. Griffiths said there has been some discussion of placing deputies at early voting locals, but added it should not have to be this way. He also clarified touching another person, even subtly on the shoulder, can be a crime if the person does not wish to be touched. When asked if it is an appropriate response to pull their hair of someone with force after being touched, he said OPD is investigating as the incident happened in the city limits. He also said he is a hugger and began asking local candidates and their supporters to behave. Fawcett said politics is passion and sometimes folks get carried away, but also talked about having expectations of our community and a vision for our community and how we want to move forward. He said, "Odessa is at somewhat of a crossroads and we need to address the concerns that we have and understand that we need to decide who we are as a community. We need to look ourselves in the mirror, and we need to understand that what we do impacts what our children see, what our voters see, and what our citizens see." Landgraf asked candidates to look back at the history of the United States. George Washington led the fight to break the chains of a tyrannical king sitting on a throne an ocean away, and in so doing charted a course for the American people to cast votes to choose their leaders. In his farewell address, President Washington urged Americans to cultivate peace and harmony with all. Yesterday was the 292nd anniversary of George Washington's birthday. "As West Texans, I think we would be wise to follow George Washington's advice and cultivate a little more peace and harmony." To the candidates, remember that elections are about the voters. Peaceful, free, and fair elections are what separates us from tyranny. Violence and intimidation at polling locations is not fighting for freedom. We should all hold ourselves out to be candidates that voters are excited to cast a vote for. Let's strive to be as good as the people we seek to serve. To the voters, this process is yours. This election belongs to you. Again, the foundation of our constitutional republic centers on you and voting, not violence. It is in our DNA as Americans and as Texans. Don't let anyone intimidate you or stop you from exercising your right to vote. If you don't like what you're seeing, show up and vote. The people of this county are good, honest, and hardworking people. Candidates and office holders will be a reflection of the people who engage and show up. Every single eligible voter in Ector County deserves an opportunity to cast their ballot in peace and without fear of being intimidated on their way to the voting booth.
This is Christy, and I'll be reading Odessa American for Saturday, February 24th, 2024. Bass Pro Shops, coming to Odessa. OA News at OAOA.com. It's official. Odessa will have a 100,000 square foot Bass Pro Shops near Yukon Road and Mission Boulevard. Bass Pro Shops on Friday announced the new destination retail store location to serve the Odessa and Midland markets. Bass Pro Shops forged an agreement with John Bushman's ICA Development for a location between the newly improved Yukon Road and Mission Boulevard, fronting Highway 191 in Midland County, adjacent to the Synergy Family Entertainment Center. This location is expected to open sometime in spring of 2025. We have a great deal of passion for the entire Permian Basin region and the amazing range of outdoor recreation options it offers, legendary angler, noted conservationist, and Bass Pro Shops founder Johnny Morris said in a news release. This new location in Odessa will allow us to strengthen our relationship with the sportsmen and women of the great state of Texas and will make it easy for people and families across the plains of West Texas to spend time together in the great outdoors. For that, we are deep down proud and excited. While Bass Pro Shops previously considered a location in Midland, it believes this new destination near Odessa will allow for an expanded experience and assortment for its customers while conveniently serving the entire Permian Basin region. We are very excited that Bass Pro Shops has chosen ICA as their development partner. We couldn't be happier to have such a unique retail giant to spearhead the next phase of development for Dorado Center, ICA Chairman and CEO John Bushman said in the release. We're also quite thankful to the cities of Midland and Odessa, along with both Ector and Midland counties, for their combined efforts to help attract Bass Pro Shop to this region. State Representative Brooks Landgraf praised Bushman for making the deal happen. I'm thrilled that Bass Pro Shop is opening a store in Odessa to serve customers all across the Permian Basin. As a hunter and outdoorsman, I'll be giving them my fair share of business. Special thanks to Odessa businessman John Bushman and his dedicated team at ICA for putting this deal together. He made it happen without any politicians getting involved, and our community and region are reaping the benefits of his entrepreneurial spirit. The opening of Bass Pro Shop's newest location will be the company's 17th in the great state of Texas, serving the Odessa and Midland communities, along with the greater West Texas Plains. The new design will allow the company to expand the previously planned 65,000 square foot location to an impressive 100,000 square foot destination retail store, building on its reputation of serving the passionate sportsmen and women in the state with the widest selection of quality products at the best prices around while providing genuine, friendly, expert service, a news release said. Ector County Judge Dustin Fawcett is excited about the legendary shop. I, along with all Odessans, am proud to hear that Bass Pro Shops is coming to Odessa. There was a significant amount of work from folks behind the scenes that made this a reality. I want to thank all of them, as well as the team from Bass Pro Shops, for making this a reality for our great community and her citizens. Like all Bass Pro Shops locations, the new store will feature a completely unique custom design envisioned as a tribute to the great sporting heritage of the region and a celebration of the sportsmen and women of Texas. The store will build on the signature qualities that define the award-winning Bass Pro Shop shopping experience, combining retail with environment, outdoor education, and conservation. More than just a fishing and hunting store, the retail destination will offer equipment and clothing for all outdoor adventures, including hiking, backpacking, wildlife viewing, camping, and other related outdoor gear. A gift and nature center will feature a wide variety of outdoor-themed and related items, including big cedar, home and cabin decor, and accessories. Men's, ladies, and children's apparel sections will offer a wide assortment of brands, including Redhead, True Timber, Ascend, Worldwide, Sportsman, and Natural Reflections, along with many more popular brands for greater selection, quality, and value. In addition to providing customers with the outdoor products they love, a team of talented artists and craftsmen will design the store's localized imagery to reinforce its immersive outdoor theme. The signature creativity and attention to detail are hallmarks of every experience, from Johnny Morris, who often is referred to as the Walt Disney of the outdoors, for his knack of creating immersive experiences that connect people people with nature, the release said. Unique exterior and interior motif have branded Bass Pro Shops as visually appealing, high-quality outdoor retail destinations that customers love. In addition to providing a fun outdoor experience indoors, Bass Pro Shops locations feature a large aquarium and water features stocked with native fish species, thousands of local antiques and artifacts, hundreds of trophy fish and wildlife mounts, and murals depicting local scenes. Employment information, when available, will be posted at bassproshops.com/careers.
Hello, this is Wendy Kingston, and I am reading the Odessa American. The title of the article is Road to Emmaus Holds Important Lessons by Bob Campbell. Christians will be more heedful of God if they stay connected to Him through prayer, reading the Bible, and attending church. That's according to the Revs Bill Huto and Joshua Riff, who say that is the main lesson in the story of the road to Emmaus in Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35, and Mark 16, 12 through 13, where the disciple Cleopas and an unidentified disciple are joined by the just resurrected Jesus as they walk. These disciples didn't recognize Jesus till he got to a certain point when their eyes were opened, said the Reverend Huto, pastor of Sunset Heights Baptist Church. They didn't recognize him because of their loss and grief and because things hadn't gone the way they expected. Not knowing God's plan caught them by surprise. This story shows it's important for believers to stay connected to the Lord so that we recognize him when he is speaking to us. After he disappeared, they remembered that he had told them he would rise from the dead. They got the message and hurried right back to Jerusalem. It's an example for us to share that same excitement. Huto said he had recently been inspired by a 2010 movie titled Road to Emmaus and starring Bruce Marchiano. The Reverend Rife, pastor of Southside Baptist Church in Monahans, said the story has inspired annual Walk to Emmaus gatherings in March for men and in October for women at the Circle 6 Baptist Camp and Conference Center north of Stanton and around the state. Our biggest theme is that Jesus was unrecognizable in that form because he was not what they expected, and that God in our modern context is so different from what we expect that we might not recognize him, Riff said. Cleopas and his companion were part of the larger group of the disciples, not of the 12. When Jesus and the disciples reached Emmaus, 7 miles west of Jerusalem, and were having dinner in the late evening, Jesus disappeared when he broke bread and the disciples recognized him. So it is that the breaking of the communal bread symbolizes not only the broken body of Jesus, but also the fellowship of believers, Rife said. The loaf represents the unity of the people. The second big moment is in Luke chapter 24, verse 32, when the disciples, looking back, ask, "Were not our hearts burning within us when he spoke?" There must be an element in our faith of hearing God's word and having an internal Holy Spirit sense that what we're hearing is true. Rife said the reality of God is opposite of the misconception that he will always conform to the images in the Bible, like his appearance to Moses in a burning bush or to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. God is a living, dynamic being who acts in different ways at different times. He said he is just not that predictable.
Texas passes on $450 million summer lunch program for low-income families by guest contributor February 22, 2024, by Nina Banks, the Texas Tribune. This year, 35 states will participate in a $2.5 million federal nutrition program that will help low-income parents buy groceries for their children when free school meals are unavailable during the summer months. But Texas, which has 3.8 million children eligible for the program, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, has opted not to join this national effort. If it had, Qualifying families would have received $120 per child through a preloaded card for the 3 summer months. The USD calculated that Texas is passing on a total of $450 million in federal tax dollars that would have gone to eligible families here. The reason for this pass is simple, according to the Texas Health and Human Services Commission. When the USDA notified HHSC officials of their new summer electronic benefit transfer, or EBT program, on December 29th, that gave the nation's second largest state only 6 months to get it up and running, and that's not enough time, said Tiffany Young, a spokesperson for the state agency. Although the summer program would involve two other agencies as well, the Texas Education Agency and the Texas Department of Agriculture, HHSC, would have to bear the brunt of the work because they would have to coordinate and direct the distribution of the preloaded cards to qualifying families. Already on their plate is the cumbersome unwinding of Medicaid coverage. Since last April, the agency has removed more than...
This is Wendy Kingston reading the Odessa American... The Obits, Gradine Barham. Gradine Barham, beloved grandmother, mother, aunt, and friend, passed away on February 20th, 2024, at the age of 87. She was born on January 6, 1937, in Wink, Texas, to Grady and Vera Bingham. Gradine graduated from Odessa High School in 1955 and later received her bachelor's degree from North Texas State University. She married her lifetime love, Edward Earl Barham, on January 22, 1958. They had 2 children, Dina Lynn Barham and Brett David Bingham Barham. Ed preceded her in death in 2019, and Brett preceded her in death in 2023. A memorial service will be held at Stonegate Odessa Church on Wednesday, February 28th at 3 p.m., Afterward, please join the family in celebrating her life at Odessa Country Club in lieu of flowers. The family is asking donations towards the UTPB Medical Professions at 4901 East University, Odessa, Texas, 79762. This is Wendy Kingston reading the Odessa American Obits, Jerry Dean Ramsey. Jerry Dean Ramsey was born November 18, 1936, and left this earth on February 19, 2024, to be with his Lord. Jerry was born to Gus Allen Ramsey and Joyce Eubanks Ramsey in Menard, Texas, where he grew up and attended Menard High School. Jerry is survived by his loving wife, Judy Elrod Ramsey of Odessa, Texas, a son, Eddie Ramsey, and wife, Gazilla Ramsey, a daughter, Jan Ramsey Fitzhugh, and husband, Carl Fitzhugh, a son, Kyle Clary, and wife, Helen Clary, a daughter, Kelly Clary. He is also survived by 5 grandchildren. Jerry spent his career in the petrotech chemical industry in the Permian Basin. Jerry loved nature, animals, and fishing and the great outdoors. Special thanks to the team at Waterside Nursing, Rehab, and Hospice in Kerrville. This is Wendy Kingston reading the Odessa American, Obits, Paul Dean Beasley. It is with great sadness that we announce the passing of Paul Dean Beasley on February 11th, 2024. Paul was born March 18, 1969, in Lubbock, Texas, to Jeer Dean and Francis Colleen Beasley. He grew up in Odessa, Texas, where he attended Permian High School, graduating in 1987. He moved to Austin, attended the University of Texas. Paul was preceded in death by his father, Jeer Dean Beasley, and mother, Francis Colleen Beasley. He is survived by sister Barbara Cadell, and his nieces and nephews, Mikhail, Marissa, and Matthew.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.